Long Nights of Getting Lost. Written by Add and Subtract. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Hockey RPF. Rating Explicit. Relationship Jack Eichel, Matt Gizletzik, Jimmy Vesey. Also tagged for Tentacles, Dream Sex, and Loss of Virginity. Jack has a recurring dream. In it, he's in bed, almost sleeping, and something wakes him up. Something wraps around his ankle, like a rope or a vine. He tries to tug out of its grasp, and then there's another around his other ankle. He struggles, but it doesn't matter. Soon it has his wrists and ankles held tightly. Soon it spreads his legs apart. Soon it sneaks underneath his clothing and pushes into him. When he tries to scream, it pushes a tendril into his mouth. It oozes sap onto his tongue, sweet and sharp. He can feel it warming him up until he's tilting his head back to swallow more, arching into the two tendrils pushing into his ass. He comes quickly, but he stays hard. Something about the sweet sap, maybe, making him tingle all over, desperate and aroused. After all, when he wakes up, he finds his boxers sticky with cum, and he feels languid, a little tired, but also still on the edge of arousal. Like if someone was in the room with him, maybe he'd let them fuck him. Maybe he'd like that. Weirder than the recurring dream is the way he wakes up with marks, bruises around his wrists and ankles, the tang of something sweet in the back of his throat. When he touches himself in the shower, his room is sensitive, pliable. He feels okay, though, otherwise. It starts in Ann Arbor, follows him to BU. It happens once a month. Sometimes more, but he can feel it coming, like an itch and edginess skirting up his spine. When it crests, it's almost a weird relief. Finally, he's here, the tendrils curled around his wrists, holding him in place. He doesn't say anything about it. If there are days when he's a little more distracted, a little more ready to turn into a soft touch on his shoulder, he just has to hope no one notices. Matt does, though. Maybe because he's the captain, or maybe that's just how he is. "Are you okay? You seem off," he asks, his brow furrowed, and Jack wants to put his thumb there, smooth it out. It's a new impulse, but he doesn't mind it. Jack woke up at 4:15, still hard, and got himself off with his fingers, thinking about how much easier it was to press inside his hole than it should be, how he felt slightly wet. Now Matt is slinging an arm around his shoulders, and Jack can't help leaning in, just a little. The contact feels good. He's always a little easier on days after the dream. And this is Matt. It's easy to be easy with Matt. "I'm fine," he says, Though, if you want to give me a massage, I wouldn't say no. He puts on a wide grin, and Matt rolls his eyes. See if I'm ever concerned about you again, Matt says, like he can't help himself. He's that kind of guy. Kind of nerdy, very earnest, responsible. He squeezes Jack's shoulder and gives Jack a little push towards the locker room when he pulls away. Sometimes, Jack thinks that if he told anyone about the dreams, he'd tell Matt. He'd pull up his pants leg and show off the yellowing, purpling bruises. He'd ask, "What do you think it is?" And Matt wouldn't know the answer, but at least someone else would be thinking about it. Instead, he heads into the locker room and doesn't sneak a look at Matt over his shoulder. They win the beanpot, and Jack gets spectacularly wasted. He might regret it later after he's done puking, but for now he's sitting in a booth between Diff and Laner, the two of them trying to yell at each other over him. Jack isn't listening to anything either of them is saying. Matt and Danny and Evan are across the table, and Jack can't help poking Matt in his ankle with his foot. "Who are you texting?" he asks. He's pretty sure he knows the answer, but he's asking anyway. "Oh," Matt says. His cheeks are flushed. Yesterday he asked Jack if he needed any help with his intro to stats homework. Yesterday, Jack was mostly pretending that when he sat down he couldn't feel the way his ass was a little sore. Jack spent most of the day resisting the urge to go into the bathroom and touch himself there, just to see if he was still sensitive. He's worried about how just the thought sends a little thrill of arousal through him, even now, a whole day removed. Matt looks back at his phone. "It's just Jimmy," he says. Which is who Jack was going to guess. There's really only one person Matt is always texting. Jack hasn't played with Jimmy Vesey much, but they're both from around Boston. They've played against each other. Jack knows him, but he doesn't know him. Not like Matt does. "Did he congratulate you?" Jack asks. "Because we're celebrating." Matt laughs. He's not that sore a loser. "Just making sure," Jack says. And even he can hear the way his tone is a little mulish. Matt rolls his eyes but puts his phone away. Diff is trying to shove Jack out of the way so he can get to the bathroom. There's more drinking to be done. Sometimes Jack thinks that he should probably have real sex. Real sex with a real person. Mostly he doesn't, though, because he's Jack Eichel. Almost everyone on campus knows who he is, and he doesn't want to fumble through with someone who will talk about it later. He doesn't want to discuss the weird bruises he sometimes has, the way he's worried he'll spread his legs on instinct. He thinks about asking someone on the team. Matt. Really, he'd want to ask Matt. But in the end, he doesn't. Matt calls Jimmy more than anyone who isn't dating someone should, and Jack knows that Forts or Diff would take pity on him, but that's not what he wants either. So he dreams instead. He lets it build in him and peak. He still gets off anyway. It happens at Worlds, the night after their last round-robin game, a squeaked-out win against Slovakia. He's sharing a room with Larks, and when he wakes up, hovering in that strange place between sated and on edge, he has to try to explain away the bruising, the wet spot on the front of his boxers. He wonders if he made sounds in the night. He wonders if he woke Dylan up. He doesn't ask. He sits across from Jimmy at breakfast. Jimmy kicks him underneath the table. He doesn't mean to hit a bruise, but he does. They wind up and around Jack's calves, his thighs, like something was holding him tight. Jack jolts a little, covers it with arched eyebrows, but he can feel himself start to flush. It shouldn't feel good, but it does anyway. "What?" he asks. "You're falling asleep in your eggs," Jimmy says with a grin. I have to make sure you're awake, right? We made it to the elimination round. It would suck to lose now. You're an asshole, Jack says with feeling. He hasn't asked Jimmy about Matt, and he's not going to. But he's thought about it. He wants to know. He feels like maybe he can feel Dylan's eyes on him, but he doesn't turn to look. He wouldn't know how to explain in any way that would make sense. Sometimes a monster fucks me in my dreams and it leaves bruises. Sometimes I think I like it too much. That would definitely go over well. Jack expected not to like Jimmy, is the thing. In close quarters, living in each other's pockets for the month of the tournament, Jack figured he'd tolerate Jimmy and that would be fine. By the time they win bronze, though, Jack understands why Matt likes him so much. Jimmy's pricklier than Matt is, personality-wise, and Jack spends too much time sitting near him, laughing at his sharp commentary. He still works hard, and he plays so smooth. He deserved a spot in the medal game. And Jack didn't expect to be mad that he was scratched, but he is. Come on, Jimmy says in the locker room after. Both of them have wet hair. Neither of them are wearing shirts, but they both have their medals on. I need a picture to send to Matt. You want me to take it? Jack asks, and Jimmy gives him a weird look. No, I want to take a selfie of both of us to make him jealous. Jimmy says in that flat tone of his. Come here, idiot. There are still marks on Jack's chest and neck, like little hickeys, and Jimmy's skin is damp and warm. When Jimmy holds up the phone, Jack leans in and tries not to breathe too deeply or think too much about the places their skin is pressed together. He wonders what Jimmy would think if he knew how needy Jack is when he's asleep. If he knew the things that Jack dreams about. Tell him to make it his phone background, Jack says, trying to shake himself out of his thoughts. Jimmy laughs. When I have Wi-Fi again and can send it, I will. The night before the draft, he falls asleep, and then feels like he's waking up. Corded tendrils already wrapped around his ankles and thighs, pulling him apart, exposing him. He doesn't struggle anymore. He doesn't bother. So instead, he just lets it, whatever it is, explore underneath his clothes, leaving sticky residue on his nipples, pushing a thick tentacle into his mouth. He swallows and swallows and swallows. By the time a tentacle slides between the cheeks of his ass, brushing over his hole, Jack's whining, desperate, needy. He wants something in him. He's not sure if this is just what he likes, what he wants, or if it's something else. But that doesn't really matter. Nothing feels more like relief than when the tentacle finally pushes into him, stretching him open. He knows he'll be taking more before he wakes up. He's almost looking forward to it. The next day, he walks onto the stage in Florida and pulls on the blue and gold jersey. He can feel his muscles protest when he stretches, and he can still taste the sticky sweetness of sap, even after coffee and breakfast. He shakes hands and signs pucks and thinks about hockey. In Buffalo, he only really worries about it on road trips when he's sharing space with Reno and has to think about what kinds of noises he'll be making. He has his own room in Molson's house, and besides that, his own bathroom. Mostly, he's focusing on putting up points. The first 2 months are hard, and it's not him, it's just luck. On roadies, with Reno, he does his best to get himself off before he goes to bed. It means a lot of showers, but he thinks maybe if he's tired himself out already, he won't dream. He can still feel it building, a tense energy prickling through him, but he holds off longer than he thinks is possible. Mostly it works, until it doesn't. It's December, and the BU boys tell them they're going to see the game in Boston. It's the day after Christmas, and being in Boston means Jack actually got to see his family. They're all going to the game, too. Jack texts Matt. Is Jimmy coming? I don't think so, Matt says. And then, do you want me to invite him? You should, Jack says. Might be fun. I'll see if he can come, Matt says. It'll be nice to see you. Jack stares at that for a while, and then sends Matt a little blushy emoji face, followed by a face with its tongue sticking out. He doesn't think it's too flirty, but maybe it is. He doesn't know. That night, he dreams that he wakes up spread-eagled on the bed. Somehow he's already naked, and the thing, whatever it is impatient, like it's been waiting. It runs sticky tentacles all over his skin, and just the feel of them, tacky and warm, makes Jack start to get hard. His legs have been pulled wide, and when it smacks his ass, he can't help the little noise he makes. Shocked. It pushes a tendril into his mouth to gag him and fills him up with its sweet sap. It keeps hitting him, spanking him, really, until he's arching his hips into it, his skin tingling and then burning. When it finally pushes inside him, he can feel one tendril rubbing over his cheeks, making sure he can still feel the little stings of pain. He comes embarrassingly quickly. The thing doesn't care and just keeps fucking him. His ass is still sore in the morning, pink, blotched with new bruises, and Jack presses on the marks when he gets himself off in the shower. It's easy for him to push two fingers inside, loose already. And that's not new exactly, but he doesn't think he should be used to it. He slides in a third, and it's too good. He has to be careful when he sits, but mostly because he likes the way he can still feel it. He sees Matt after the game, with Jimmy. And it's hard not to lean down, press his face against Matt's neck when Matt congratulates him. He doesn't do it, though. Jimmy's fingers push into the bruises on his back, crowding up into the hug. And that's okay, too. Except he thinks that Jimmy could be pushing his fingers against the bruises on his ass instead. How it might still be easy to get two fingers inside him, the way it was this morning. The Sabres won, and all his friends and families were there to see. But Jack's half-hard in his slacks, thinking about how he'd let either Matt or Jimmy fuck him, and about how probably neither of them would want to. At the end of the season, he feels tired. More tired than usual, and besides that, in pain. The doctor tells him to take it easy, and he does, even if it makes him impatient and irritable. Muscular strain, they tell him, and that's fine, even if it means he can't go to Worlds again. There's the World Cup to think about. He's played more games in the last year than he has in any other year before that. And there's the Summer Pro League starting up in June. He'll be okay by then, he knows. Matt and Danny and Megs all graduate, at least technically. And then there's weeks of parties. Jack drinks a lot, accidentally kisses Danny in the sappiest way possible, and vomits off of a boat. It's not the drunkest he's been, but it comes close. He thinks about Matt and Jimmy playing in the NHL next year, and it's a good thought. He wonders where Jimmy will be. He wonders if Matt knows. They win their first Pro League game against M5, and Diff and Colin White. Brian punches Jack in the shoulder on his way off the ice. When are you going to stop disappointing me, Ike? Brian asks. Maybe when you play better, Jack says. Gotta be ready for that deke. You're such a shithead, Brian says, rolling his eyes. You coming out with us? Jack's eyes wander to Jimmy, leaning against the boards, talking to Matt. I don't know yet, he says. I'll text you. Brian follows Jack's eyes, and then his mouth spreads wide into a wolfish grin. Trying to get back on the captain's dick? Jack shrugs and smiles because it's stupid the way the team assumes he and Matt hooked up while Jack was at BU. He can't say he's been thinking about Jimmy kissing Matt, about what the two of them would look like when they're fucking, if they're fucking, and how Jack hasn't kissed anyone, really, unless you're counting the tentacled monster that fucks him in his dreams. Jack's not. Brian shakes his head slowly, like he's disappointed. You're a mystery, Ike. I try, Jack says. Come on, shower time. You smell. They lose and win and lose. Jack doesn't dream, which mostly means that it's going to happen again soon. But he doesn't know when. It could be any time. He waits, anxious and impatient. He can feel it growing, that tension, the one that means it's almost time. There's nothing he can do but let it come. He stays the night at Matt's house after one of the late games. Matt's parents are away, and Jimmy's staying, too. It'll be easier for Matt to get to practice the next day. And besides, it means that they can drink and Jack doesn't have to worry about getting home. He's scared to go to sleep. He knows that he'll be in the guest room, that Jimmy will supposedly be sleeping on the couch, which probably means he'll be sleeping in Matt's room. Jack wants to see them kiss, wants them to fuck. He's been on edge all day, and Jack knows what that means. If he's lucky, he'll get another day, enough time to get far away from Matt and Jimmy. But he's not feeling particularly lucky. Calm down, Jimmy says. He has a beer. He's had several. And his face is a nice shade of pink. He puts his hand on Jack's knee, which is bobbing up and down as Jack fidgets. Jack bites his lip and refrains from doing anything stupid, like leaning in to kiss him. Matt is in the kitchen, finding chips. I'm kicking your ass, Jack says. Don't distract me. Jimmy laughs and calls out to Matt. Hey, Matty, your freshman is letting his fame get to his head. You gonna come back and put him in his place? Tattletale, Jack says. Matt appears in the doorway with a large bag of Doritos. He puts on a disappointed face. Jack, I promised your parents you'd go to bed at 9. I'm not going to let you stay up late if you can't play well with others. Jack slumps down on the couch and tries to ignore the buzzing in his veins. By the time Jack falls asleep, he's certain it's coming, and he's not wrong. He's in the guest bed in Matt's parents' house, but the tentacles are sliding out from underneath, pushing under his shirt and sweatpants, tugging everything out of the way until he's mostly naked, cotton bunched up at his neck and ankles. Oh, he says, when the first wet tendril slides over his thigh. He doesn't remember speaking before, but then there's a push against his lips, a tentacle sliding inside past his teeth and down his throat, so it doesn't really matter anymore. It pumps him full of sweet sap until he's drifting and hot, so hard, his dick dripping pre-cum onto his stomach. He tries to spread his legs, but they're trapped in the fabric of his sweats. He whines, swallowing around the tendril in his mouth, and then he's being flipped over, turned onto his stomach. Two tendrils part his cheeks, pulling him open, and Jack's been waiting. He knew this was coming. He only pushes back into it when they start to open him up. He's so full, swallowing sticky sweetness while the two thick tendrils slide into him. There are tentacles around his chest, his arms, his thighs. There's a tentacle looped around his neck, keeping him upright enough that he can keep swallowing. He comes, spurting onto the comforter underneath him, and then another tendril wraps around his dick, getting him hard all over again. His body gives, helpless. He wonders if the bed is hitting the wall with the force that it's fucking him. He wonders if it'll spank him again, if it'll slide across his nipples until they're sensitive, if it'll push another limb inside of him just to stuff him up. He wonders if Jimmy and Matt can hear him, wanton and desperate. Sap is leaking from the corners of his mouth, dripping down onto the bed, and he doesn't even care. There are hands on his neck, It's the first thing he feels, and he moans. His face is pressed into the mattress, and he can still feel tentacles inside him fucking him. He shudders feeling them move, or the memory of them move, and the hand on his neck slides down to his face, turning his head to the side. His mouth is free, but he's pretty sure, he thinks. His hips twitch back into the pressure, and he can't hold in his whine. Jack? It's Matt's voice, and when Jack opens his eyes, finally, it's Matt's face. Jack breathes in and back out and tries not to struggle, because Matt's not supposed to be here. Jesus Christ, Jimmy says, swimming into view over Matt's shoulder. Okay, Jack says, but his tongue feels too big for his mouth, and he's not done. It wasn't done with him, he thinks. He's still trembling with need. You should go. You were dreaming, Matt says kindly, and Jimmy snorts. You were moaning so loud you woke us up. He's keeping his eyes off of the way Jack's stretched out on the bed. And Jack is good at many things. He's very good at hockey. He's good at making friends, and he's good at being charming. He's not good at denying himself what he wants. He could tell them to leave, suffer on his own, or maybe go back to dreaming for the night. He could ask them to take care of him, here, awake, if they even would. Jack doesn't have the willpower to roll over or cover himself up. Instead, he says, What? Matt asks. It wasn't finished, Jack says. It's not. I need one of you to fuck me. Matt reaches out to touch Jack's shoulder, and Jack half swallows a whimper, because he's never woken up in the middle before. He didn't realize how desperate he'd be, but it feels so good to be touched. Jesus, Jack, Jimmy says. What the hell? I can't. Don't make me explain right now. Fuck. Jack pushes his face against his arm, stupidly about 4 seconds from crying with how he needs to get fucked. Please. There's a long pause, long enough that Jack knows that Matt and Jimmy are communicating over his head, and long enough that Jack feels like he's going to die. Okay, Matt says. Jimmy will be right back. Can you spread your legs for me a little? Jack does and hates himself. Because he's not like this, but he does like it, especially when Matt runs a cool hand over his sweaty back. He runs his fingers over Jack's ass, and Jack sighs. We'll take care of you, okay? It's going to be fine. And the thing about Matt is, Jack believes him. Matt eases Jack onto his back, pulls his tangled sweatpants and t-shirt off, leaving him naked on the guest bed. Jack feels exposed, vulnerable, but he's so on edge and desperate that he doesn't care. Jimmy comes back, lube in hand, and Jack watches Matt slick up his fingers. This is apparently how he loses his virginity. The real one, not the fake dream one he lost 2 years ago. Not how I thought this would happen, Matt says. Like an echo, except he can't be talking about the same thing. Jimmy laughs and climbs onto the bed. He kisses Jack, and so Jack doesn't ask, "You thought about this?" But he wants to. He would, so maybe it's better that he can't. "Your mouth tastes so sweet," Jimmy says. "What is that?" But he doesn't stay back long enough for Jack to answer. He kisses Jack and kisses him, and so when Matt presses 2 fingers inside him, Jack just pants against his mouth. It feels good. "You're so stretched already," Matt says. "Did you use your fingers?" Jack arches into it, pushes his tongue into Jimmy's mouth, and wonders how he'll explain it later when they ask why he begged them to fuck him. Matt pushes in 3, wriggles his pinky in just for a moment, brushing his mouth over the insides of Jack's thighs. He's attentive, kisses all of the bruises surfacing on Jack's skin. When he finally lines up and pushes in, Jack wraps his legs around Matt's hips, trying to pull him closer. It feels familiar and completely alien at the same time. Matt's skin is so warm. "I want," Jack says, while Jimmy kisses over his jaw, his neck. "Harder." "I'm not surprised that you're pushy," Jimmy says, rubbing fingers over Jack's nipple, biting into his lower lip. "You know what you like, huh?" I haven't done this before," Jack says, a confession, and Matt makes a strangled sound. He thrusts harder, his hips hitting Jack's ass, Jack's heel pushing against the small of his back. Jimmy kisses his cheek, the bridge of his nose. "Jack, you can't mean..." Jack laughs a little, but it's interrupted by a moan. It feels so good to have Matt fucking him. "I mean it," Jack says. "Feels special." Jimmy reaches down to wrap a hand around Jack's dick, thumb sliding over the head, pressing against the slit, and then curling down. Jack arches into it, and then Matt's hands are on his ass, holding him apart so he can fuck further in. It's like what Jack dreamed, except it's not at all. Jack's too overwhelmed not to come almost immediately. Jimmy's hand is confident on his dick, and Jack's back bows taut, so tense. He splatters Jimmy's hand, his own skin. "There you are," Jimmy says, and kisses him, rubbing cum into the skin of his belly. Matt's picking up speed, but losing rhythm, and every push inside Jack feels like too much and not enough. Even after coming, he's not sure he wants it to stop. Jimmy presses two of his fingers, still coated with Jack's semen, against Matt's mouth, and Jack watches him lick them clean, swallow, his hips working. He closes his eyes, and Jack feels him shudder, feels him come. He fucks the wetness into Jack, and Jack doesn't know why he likes it so much, but he does. "Okay," Matt says. He's still panting, and it's the first thing he's said since he slid inside. He waits for Jack to nod before he kisses him. "I've had these dreams," Jack says. The room is dark, and they're both still on the bed with him, close enough that he can soak in their heat. He feels like it might be okay. "For years, over and over, a monster that likes to, I don't know, open me up, fuck me. I don't know if it's real, but I can't stop it. It feels like it leaves bruises. I've never woken up in the middle before. I didn't know. I'm sorry." Matt kisses the point of his shoulder. "I don't really know what any of that means, but don't be sorry." "You're still half hard," Jimmy says, brushing his fingers over the base of Jack's dick. "I'm usually on edge the day after, like I can still feel how it felt, a little, to be that desperate." He swallows and thinks about stopping, and then doesn't. "If you want to fuck me again, you can. I'll like it. I can tell now." "Fuck," Jimmy says. "I can't believe that was your first time." Jack smiles. "First time while awake, I guess," he says. "Not bad." Later, Jimmy rolls Jack onto his side, spoons up behind him, pushes inside. Jack couldn't have hoped for both of them, but he gets it. He gets Matt kissing him, so different from the way Jimmy kisses, and Jimmy wrapping an arm around him from behind, a leg slung over his hips as he fucks into him. Jack could get used to it. In the morning, Jack slides out of bed and showers. He's careful, rinsing himself off, but he feels a little more centered than normal the day after the dream. Maybe to make up for how lost in it he was. When he gets back to the guest room, both Jimmy and Matt are awake. They're kissing. It's the first time Jack's seen it. They look good. And Jack watches Matt push his fingers through Jimmy's hair and wonders if they'd still do it if they knew he was there. "Jack," Matt says. His face is red, and Jimmy's mouth is trailing down his neck, probably leaving marks. Come back to bed. I'll get the sheets wet, Jack says. Don't care, Jimmy says. Let us de-virginize you some more. Jack snorts, but drops the towel he pilfered from the hall linen closet to the floor and goes. He's easy. Jack will have to go home eventually, but he likes being here, in Matt's house, where he can touch either Matt or Jimmy as much as he wants. Matt pushes up the leg of Jack's borrowed sweatpants and says, I remember these bruises. You had them all the time at BU. Yeah, Jack says, and for once he doesn't have to pretend he doesn't want to lean into the touch. They're from my dream. So you think it'll come back? Jimmy asks. Probably, Jack says. He doesn't see why not. He's had it almost as long as he's had a sex drive. He thinks he might miss it if it went away. And that's weird, but it's true. Matt says, and leans in to kiss Jack's ankle, his calf, the line of bruises. Jack hasn't asked yet what they talked about when they talked about him, but he still can later. What he means is, looks like we'll just have to keep fucking you, Jimmy says, and grins. Well, Jack says, wriggling down further onto the couch. Matt grips his ankle, tugging until he has Jack's feet on his lap, thumb pressing hard into the arch. I guess I can handle that. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!